From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 21st day of July 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll go through yesterday's weekly outlook release from Daryl Good. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and discuss how this year looks a bit like 1995. I'll have some of the USDA numbers from that year as well as we wrap up our time together. And along the way, we'll hear the crop progress reports from the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and of course, Missouri. And it all happens right here on Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 21st day of July 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana is here to take up the marketplace. Wayne, thanks for being with us. Tell me what happened in Chicago on this Tuesday.
Well, you know, as we saw a little bit of a rebound, not real enthusiastic, but a turnaround Tuesday. A lot of enthusiasm was lacking. Of course, the wheat seemed to languish along the way because we lost the sale to Egypt, probably to the Black Sea today. We did see, you know, the crop ratings seemed to hold their own. They went down, of course, in the eastern areas and up in the western areas looking that way, too. So the big question is, will they offset each other? There's a long way going, and that's sort of a big battle right now amongst traders, and that's why we saw a little bit up today, because we didn't get the drop or the increase in crop ratings, but we didn't get a drop either.
It appears that the outside markets, in particular the other commodities, I think gold, maybe crude oil, have been having an impact on the marketplace. Can you tell me about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, as we look at how the world economy is growing and everything, we generally see gold going strong, we see crude going strong, we see copper, silver, sugar, all those going strong. And when we've had the other big commodity as an asset rising, the markets coming across the broad base, why they all seem to rise, you know, like the commodity rally raises all boats, you know, the high tide does that. And they aren't going there. So what we're seeing basically is mainly just a weather rally this year. And of course, wet weather rallies are much more fickle than dry weather rallies.
Are there things that producers ought to be considering, given what's happened in crude oil as it relates to booking fuel needs for the fall?
You know, we know that there's been at least two of the advisory firms out there that sent out special notices yesterday to keep an eye on that. And as we're looking at times whenever crude goes under $50, it's time to be getting real serious about booking some of your diesel needs for this fall's harvest. So, and I think that that's, you know, a real good idea. I mean, when we get down there, we haven't been here for quite a while. It's been on the lower level what we go and what we're looking to go to. So look at buying some diesel fuel.
Hey, Wayne, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly Crop Progress Report. It shows that of the 18 reporting states, and they represent 92% of the total corn acreage in the U.S., 55% are now silking for corn. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 56%. This week, the condition of the crop is 52% good and 17% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 54 and 15. 56% of the soybeans are now blooming nationwide. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 56%. 18 states reporting here, too. They also represent 92% of the total soybean acreage. Of those, 17% are podding, and that also is the same as the rolling five-year average. 50% of the crop said to be in good condition, 12% in excellent. That compares to the previous week, which is exactly the same set of numbers. Last year, those numbers were 57 and 16, respectively. Now, here are the statisticians from the Midwest to take a look at conditions in their regions.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Iowa Field Office with the weekly crops and weather report. Hot and humid weather throughout Iowa aided crop development for the week. Activities for the week included cutting hay and fungicide application to corn. Tasseling corn was reported throughout the state. A combination of heat and humidity pushed official heat indices to 111 degrees at Burlington on Monday and 110 degrees on Friday. Actual temperatures peaked at 97 degrees at Des Moines on Monday and also at Bellevue, Lamoni, and Osceola on Friday. Lowest temperatures were sunrise readings of 56 degrees at Cresco on Wednesday and at Etzerville on Sunday. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 3.3 degrees above normal. Most of the week's rain fell between late Wednesday morning and Friday morning, with heavy rains 2 inches or more falling over most of the southern one-third of the state. The statewide average rainfall was 1.3 inches, while normal for the week is 1.02 inches. Over half the corn crop reached the silking stage, with 83% rated good to excellent. Soybeans blooming or beyond reached 62%, slightly behind 2014, but equal to normal. 15% of soybeans were setting pods. Soybean condition rated 77% good to excellent this week. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director for USDA NASS Heartland Region, with the Illinois Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report. Wet conditions continued to limit field work throughout the state last week. Statewide, precipitation averaged 0.97 of an inch. That's 0.18 inches above normal. The average temperature was 77.9 degrees. That's 1.2 degrees above normal. Corn silking increased to 75%, an increase of 20 percentage points from last week. Corn in the dough stage was at 17%. That compares to 18% last year and 16% for the five-year average. Corn condition was rated with 16% poor to very poor, 29% fair, and 55% good to excellent. Soybeans emerged reached 96%. That compares to 100% for both last year and the average. Soybeans blooming was at 56%. That compares to 66% last year and 61% for the average. Soybean setting pods was at 16%, 6 percentage points behind last year at this time. Soybean condition was rated with 20% poor to very poor, 33% fair, and 47% excellent. Winter wheat harvest increased to 91% complete, up from 83% last week. That is the Illinois Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending July 19, 2015. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director for USDA NASS Heartland Region.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Crop development remained well ahead of the previous year during the week. Farmers welcomed the week's rain in spite of accompanying high winds and hail in some areas. There were a total of 4.3 days suitable for field work during the week, and activities included spraying, scouting for aphids, and cutting hay. Minnesota's corn acreage advanced at 47% silked, nearly a week ahead of last year and slightly ahead of the five-year average. Corn condition improved slightly to 86% good to excellent. 75% of the soybean crop was blooming or beyond, that's 8 days ahead of average. With 21% of the soybean setting pods, the condition was rated 79% good to excellent. 62% of the spring wheat acreage was turning color, over a week ahead of normal. Spring wheat condition was rated 83% good to excellent. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Janice Pressbury with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Heavy rains as well as wind, hail, and lightning took a toll on crops last week. Average temperatures ranged from 70 to 83 degrees. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 7.44 inches with a statewide average of 2.09 inches. Winter wheat was 72% harvested this week compared to 90% last year and 95% five-year average. Soybeans blooming was 52% complete compared to 68% last year and 58% five-year average. Corn silking was 50% complete compared to 65% last year and 65% five-year average. Farmers were challenged to find the window to combine winter wheat, cut and bale hay, bale straw, and plant double crop soybeans this week. Winter wheat harvest continued slowly. Those who found a little window to harvest winter wheat reported winter wheat of low quality. There have been reports of elevators rejecting winter wheat loads due to the presence of vomitoxin. Winter wheat left unharvested continues to have quality issues, including problems with scab, sprouting, and mold. Soybeans look pretty good in places that were not drowned out. Several farmers were able to spray soybean fields that had been previously neglected due to wet field conditions. Corn growth and conditions continue to be variable across the state, depending on soil and moisture. Early plantings on well-drained soils were looking better than later planted corn struggling with excessive moisture and nutrients deficiency. There were reports of tasseling in corns only 2 to 3 feet high. Other activities for the week included spraying fungicides and herbicides where possible and attending county fairs. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 19, 2015. This is Janice Pressbury reporting.
This is Bob Guarino with the USDA's Missouri Crop Progress Report for the week ending July 19th. Though rain again fell across much of Missouri this past week, the northern third of the state received the heaviest rainfall with 2 to 3 inches reported in much of that area. Still, the 3.9 days suitable for field work on average in Missouri were the most since the week ending May 3rd. Looking at the crops, 70% of corn was in the silking stage, 7 points behind average for this time of year. 9% of corn was in the dough stage compared to an average of 25%. Corn condition was rated 5% very poor, 12% poor, 33% fair, 42% good, and 8% excellent. Soybeans were 83% emerged compared to an average of 100%. 21% of soybeans were blooming, 18 points behind average. Soybean condition was rated 5% very poor, 15% poor, 51% fair, 27% good, and 2% excellent. Sorghum was 25% headed, 1 point ahead of average. Sorghum condition was rated 2% very poor, 9% poor, 51% fair, 33% good, and 5% excellent. Winter wheat was 89% harvested compared to an average of 100%. This is Bob Greenham with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, the price of soybeans is in a tug of war. It looks like this year's U.S. soybean crop may be a bit smaller than expected, but at the same time, it appears there is a corresponding drop in need. Although need might be a pretty strong term. U of I Ag economist Daryl Good has put the price tug of war related to supply and demand into context as positives and negatives. Here's a list of items supporting a higher price for soybeans. First, on the supply side, the smaller-than-expected June 1 USDA stocks estimate. It resulted in the agency lowering the projection of this year's ending stocks, what's going to be left over when we get to the fall, to 255 million bushels. Now, that's 75 million bushels less than 1 month earlier and 220 million bushels less than what USDA thought might be left when the first projection started coming out last year. Second on the list is the June 30 USDA acreage report. It predicts harvested acreage of soybeans this year will be about 700,000 acres more than projected based on the planting intentions report in March. However, there is a general consensus that not all of the intended acreage was actually planted due to extremely wet conditions in Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Well, in addition, flood damage may result in more than the usual amount of abandonment of acreage that did get planted. So while the acreage number is the largest on record right now, it is expected that will drop. And thirdly, those same wet conditions should result in a lower average U.S. soybean yield, something below the projection of 46 bushels per acre in the July 10 WASDE report. In short, the 2015 crop is expected to be smaller than the current USDA projection of 3.885 billion bushels, but the expectations are in a pretty wide range. USDA will release the first survey-based production forecast in the crop production report August 12th. That report will reflect the results of a resurvey of soybean planted and harvested acreage in Missouri, Kansas, and Arkansas. Fourth, consumption of old crop soybeans remains strong and on track to reach record levels. This goes for domestic usage, called the crush, and the export market. Unshipped sales of 94 million bushels as of July 9 were sufficient to supply the necessary shipments to meet the export goal. This brings us to the concerns, or the negatives. Daryl Good puts on the ledger. The concern about the soybean demand centers on potential export demand for the 2015 crop. USDA puts it 50 million bushels smaller than this year, but on the other hand, this year, it's a record high. Still, sales for next year are dismal. They only represent 14% of the projection. Over the past 3 years at this time, sales have been at least twice that big, and as much as three times, and the number one destination is the cause. Sales to China, by far the largest customer for U.S. soybeans, stood at only 89.5 million bushels as of the 9th day of July. Sales to unknown destinations, translated as China normally, totaled 120 million bushels. In the previous 3 years, combined sales to China and unknown destinations averaged 457 million bushels, compared to only 209.5 million bushels this year. It is possible, says Darrell Good, that the slow pace of new crop export sales so far this year reflects a shift away from the recent seasonal pattern of export sales back to the pattern that prevailed during the period from 2006 through 2010. During those 5 years, new crop export sales, as of about the 9th day of July, accounted for an average of only, guess what, 14% of the marketing year exports.
If the pattern has shifted, then sales for the upcoming marketing year are currently on track with the USDA projection. The concern, however, is that the slow pace of export sales so far this year may be reflecting the loss of market share to lower-priced South American soybeans. The current USDA projections are for year-ending stocks of U.S. soybeans to increase from 255 million bushels this year to 425 million bushels. At the projected level of consumption, the crop would have to be 170 million bushels smaller than currently projected in order to prevent a buildup in stocks. If export demand is weaker than projected, an even smaller crop would be required before U.S. supplies were small enough to require some price rationing.
So now you have the pros and the cons of the fundamentals of the marketplace. But what does it mean to the price of soybeans? Well, probably not much, at least until we get to the August 12 USDA report, thinks Good.
Confirmation of smaller U.S. production prospects in the August 12th USDA crop production report might well result in some price strength from current levels. A combination of smaller-than-expected production and improved export sales, however, may be required to push prices above the recent highs.
USDA will release the crop production and world agricultural supply demand estimates on the 12th day of August at 11 a.m. Central Time. You may find those numbers here on our website at willag.org shortly after their release. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is Public Radio for the Farming World. We'll be back in just 2 minutes with a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's Junk Food Day. What constitutes junk food is often in the eye of the beholder. What constitutes unhealthy food includes elements of cultural influences, class snobbery, and moral judgment, and, of course, quantitative measurements such as calories. On this day in agricultural history in 1694, George Brandt was born. Brandt, a Swedish chemist, discovered cobalt, which is added to steel to make it harder and have a higher melting point. Cobalt is also an essential part of vitamin B12. In 1873, it rained ants in Nancy, France. In 1917, the U.S. Senate voted on a food bill that, among other things, fixed the minimum price for wheat of $1.50 a bushel. In 1983, a new low record temperature was recorded at Vostok Station, Antarctica, -128.6 degrees Fahrenheit. And in 2006, the U.S. Senate voted after 2 days of emotional debate to expand federal funding of embryonic stem cell research, sending the measure to President George Bush for a promised veto. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Thank you. let's check the weather forecast. Now, Don Day from Day Weather is here. Thanks, Don. What do you see in the coming days?
Well, it's actually going to be a very summery. It's going to be getting warmer, and we're going to be looking at a lot of the rain sort of staying away from at least the central Corn Belt areas, like Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, and eastern Iowa and northern Missouri, going to be drier at least for the next 3.5 to 4 days or so. Now, far extreme southern Illinois, far southern Indiana, those areas I think are going to see some shower and thunderstorm activity, but a little bit warmer and drier elsewhere.
Do we know how unusual this year has been in the continuum of weather history?
What you want to do is go back and look at other years and other seasons that were similar. And one year that sticks out is 1995. Which was somewhat similar, not only with what's happened across the United States, but also the water temperatures in the oceans, the way the jet stream pattern's been behaving. That has really been a year that shows up. So if you're thinking that this year's a bit unusual, it is. It's the last time it really happened was 20 years ago.
1995 was certainly a unique year. Does it tell us anything as we look forward into this year?
Well, I think what we're going to see in August is a lot like what we saw in July. Where temperatures are not going to get out of control. I do see it getting warmer, especially during the second half of August and into early September. But this is going to be a summer known for only short bursts of heat. Anytime it does get hot, it's not going to last very long. And we're going to have enough frequency of precipitation to keep us from getting too dry. And the way it's looking, I think, as we get into late August and early September, the back end of the growing season is where we're going to hopefully have Mother Nature help out to get us to the finish line.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. The 1995 growing season was unique. In July of that year, by the way, corn reached its high for the month at $3. However, it rallied all the way through July of 1996, topping out at $5.54. So why did that happen? Well, I went back and pulled the WASDE reports just to see what the year looked like. In May of 1995, when USDA made its first projections of the size of the corn crop in the United States, it projected it would be 8.6 billion bushels. That would be 15% smaller than the 1994-95 record because of a reduced area and lower yields, according to the WASDE figures. By July of that year, 1995, USDA projected the size of the coming corn crop about 115 million bushels smaller than it had in June. Again, it lowered the harvested number of acres. In August of 1995, USDA doubled back and increased the size of the corn crop. Remember, it had dropped it by 115 million bushels. Now it brought it back up by 337 million bushels. That was in August. So how did it end up? Well, by the January reports, the size of the corn crop had plummeted. Remember, the May projection was 8.6 billion bushels. The January report set the actual 1995 harvest at 7.374 billion bushels of corn from 65 million harvested acres, averaging 113.5 bushels to the acre. The 94 record, by the way, was 138.6 bushels to the acre, for comparison's sake. And that wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.